All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday evening. Lashana just bebops all over Levite, anywhere where she can get internet, it looks like. Tonight she's at Jay's. We're here, for consciousness and the absolute. And I'm reading a message dated December 30, 1980. Happens to be on page 30 in the book. And we begin with a questioner. The questioner says, I think there should be beauty in the whole manifestation. It's an interesting thought. You know, it kind of reminds me of the wish that things were different. The wish that things were different than they are. I mean, if I think there should be beauty in the whole manifestation, I promise I'm going to suffer. Right? And it sounds like a sweet thought, but it's a setup. I think there should be beauty in the whole manifestation. So let's look at how Nisar Gadatta responds to this. You should not get involved in what has appeared. Take a tree. The bark, the leaves, the blossoms, the fruit, all have a different nature. If you get involved in the appearance of these, you will lose sight of the source, the tree. To me, that's quite beautiful. That's really gorgeous. I didn't watch the news today, so I don't know what happened, but I did see that today was the beginning of the public impeachment trials for Donald Trump. And I'm sure there are people who have opinions about that. If I get caught up in having opinions about politics, if I get caught up in having opinions about other things that are in the news, if I get caught up in having opinions about what my own family is doing, I lose sight of the source. Do you hear that? As soon as I get caught up in the appearance, as soon as I get caught up in the manifestation, I lose sight of the source. In other words, you can't be aware of the self and the world at the same time. Think about that. You should not get involved in what has appeared. Take a tree, the bark, the leaves, the blossoms, the fruit, all have a different nature. If you get involved in the appearance of these, you will lose sight of the source, the tree. Intellectually, you have understood, but you have to be one with it. You have to identify with what you have understood. Understand that the seed of this body is the sperm of the father mixed with the ovum of the mother. That is the seed for the manifestation of the phenomena. But I am not the seed. I am not the phenomena, nor am I the consciousness, which is time-bound. Today I wrote the descriptions for, or I finished writing the descriptions for the 2020 retreats. And, writing a retreat description is a contemplation. You know, you have a title and then you have to contemplate what the description is, and later I'll contemplate what the whole retreat is, right? It's kind of like you begin small with the title and you get bigger and bigger. But even though, when you guys go and read the descriptions, you're going to find a little paragraph. It'll take you a couple seconds to read it. Might have taken me an hour to write it. Because I was really contemplating what that title meant, what that retreat was about. And one of the retreats, in fact, let me just peek because, my memory is a little on the poor side. So, I'll go ahead and share my screen. You can just look with me. So I'm going to retreats at the retreat house. I think I am anyway. There we go. Here's the retreat. In the world, but not of it, embodying truth. So I had to write this description today. And like I said, I had to contemplate it. What does that mean? In the world, but not of it, embodying truth. And this is what I came up with. Peace Pilgrim once said, it took the living quite a while to catch up with the believing. But of course it can. And now, if I believe something, I live it. At this retreat, you will learn to live from the spiritual knowledge that you believe and trust. You will look at what you value, assess if your values are aligned with your spiritual desire, and then learn how to bring your values and spiritual desire together into one strong foundation that you actually live, speak, and act from. All right, let me share why I shared that. That wasn't just a commercial break. He says, intellectually, you have understood, but you have to be one with it. You have to identify with what you have understood. In fact, maybe I'll go back and add that sentence into the description because that's a perfect sentence. You know, you intellectually, you understand the spirituality. Right? But you have to identify with what you understand. By identify, we mean be it. You have to be what you understand. You have to live what you understand. Intellectually, you have understood, but you have to be one with it. You have to identify with what you have understood. And then he goes on to speak about the fact that his body, his physical body, was made by the father's sperm and the mother's ovum, right? But that he is not the seed. He is not this phenomenon of a body. That he's the consciousness, which is not time-bound, right? He says he's not the consciousness, which is still time-bound. He's beyond that. And what he's saying is he lives this. He does not live as a person. He does not live as consciousness even. He lives as beyond consciousness. To believe it, but not to live it. It reminds me of the scripture, faith without works is dead. The works here would be the living. Right? It just doesn't have much purpose to believe it if you don't live it. How do you live? I mean, ask yourself this. How do you live? Do you live as that which is beyond consciousness? Do you live as consciousness? Or do you live as a particular person? How do you live? Nisargadatta says, the names and forms which you see are consciousness only. Your consciousness is very pure, and that's why you are able to judge. The Atman is colorless, but it is able to judge colors. Your practice is over. You have reached this place. Can you imagine Nisargadatta speaking to you and saying you understand everything? There's nothing else for you to learn. Now just live what you understand. Your practice is over. Just choose to be it. You know, Inaramana said that to me. It's the very last part of the book, Inaramana. It's the part where Inaramana talked about the resistor, the doubter, and abiding. And that's where Inner Ramana explained that the resistor is when you fully believe you're the person. Then you're resisting your truth completely. So you're the resistor when you fully believe you're the person. The doubter is really the spiritual path. That's when you begin questioning whether you are the person. You begin to doubt that. But you also still do not see yourself as the truth. So you're doubting that too. There's a lot of doubting going on in the spiritual path. And then abiding, of course, is when you accept that you are that. You step into it, you claim it, you identify with it, and you begin to live from it. And what Inner Ramana said to me is that I had had a very good doubter phase. But it was time for me to begin abiding. And that's when, you know, up until then, I had been known as a scribe. That's when the scribal talent left me. It left me. Because as long as I was a scribe, as long as I was a person sitting here saying, Holy Spirit, what do you have to share with me? Or Inner Ramana, what do you have to share with me? I was still being a person. So what Inner Ramana asked me to do, what Inner Ramana showed me was every word that had been written in NTI, every word that had been written in Inner Ramana, every word that had been written in any personal message that I'd ever written, came from what I already knew, even though I didn't consciously know it. But that it's all here all the time. And all I have to do is be willing to ask in any moment, what do I need to know now? And then I know how to be, what to say, how to respond. And in fact, as I got more advanced at that, I don't even have to ask. I just glance within. I just keep one eye within rather than both eyes out. And I know how to be. I know how to respond. I know what to say. I know what to think. But I had to accept that I was not getting that knowledge from a Holy Spirit or from an ascended master in a Ramana. But that spontaneous inner wisdom was always right here. And I had to step out of the doubter phase into abiding. I had to accept that everything I needed would always be provided. And that's a lot different than knowing stuff. You know, like there are people, for example, course students who walk around like a course encyclopedia, right? They know everything that's in the course. They can quote everything that's in the course. This isn't knowing stuff. This is being willing to be empty and trust that what you need to know in a particular moment will be given then. Right? It's the empty shell that's spoken about in NTI 1 Corinthians. So here we have Nisargadatta really giving the same type of talk to a student, saying you need to stop being involved in the outer world, stop wanting the outer world to be a certain way. Your consciousness is pure. You understand all of the spiritual teachings. Your practice is over. You have reached this place. Now just begin to identify with it. Just begin to live it. Sometimes you hear this expressed as stop being the student, stop being the seeker. This knowledge is for those who have no desires. The self-knowledge is the most precious knowledge. Of course, I was contemplating the seven steps this morning. I'm a little ahead of you guys in step five. And I found myself contemplating the immature, the mature, and those with advanced maturity. That's the way it came out in my contemplation. And the immature were those people who are still attracted to the world, and they have many desires. And as soon as one desire is fulfilled, another desire comes in to replace it, right? They have lots and lots of desires. That's the immature. The mature, I think I'm going to flip you guys off now. Because I had the immature, the mature, and the advanced, right? So now I got to flip you off. Hope you don't mind. The mature, they have only one desire. And that's the desire for awakening. That's the desire for truth. But those with advanced maturity have zero desires. Not even the desire for truth, because they've claimed it. They are it. If you are the truth, how can you desire the truth? Right? So the immature have many desires. The mature have one desire. And those at the advanced maturity level have no desires. So Nisargadatta says, this knowledge is for those who have no desires. The self-knowledge is the most precious knowledge. So when you have self-knowledge, there's nothing else to desire. You have everything. To you who search for the self, I explain this type of knowledge. I lead you to a state where there is no hunger, no desire. Therefore, I'm not inclined to invite those who are worried about their possessions and their relations to listen to my talks. And that's something I understand too. I'm really lucky with you guys. I don't know how I became so blessed to have you guys, not just those of you that are here, but, you know, all of the people that I work with in Awakening Together that come to the retreats, that take the gentle healing class, that, you know, come to this group, the Tao group, the Bernadette Roberts group, you know, just everything. None of you guys are asking me questions like, how can I get the girl to love me? Or how can I get a bigger house? Or anything like that. I mean, I haven't had a question like that from you in years. Not even do I get any more. Not even, I think this was the last question to fall away, how can I improve my health? I don't even get that question from you guys anymore. It's like you guys get it, that there's really only one thing worth desiring. And all of your questions are around how you can work towards that desire. It's really beautiful. Nisargadatta is saying he's not interested in anyone other than you guys. Right? He doesn't want anybody coming to him and saying, how do I get the girl? You know, or how can I improve my health? Or how can I get a bigger house? When you have knowledge, you see that the consciousness I is all pervasive, as long as the consciousness is there. But the witness of the consciousness has no I am. And that is your true eternal nature. And last week, if you were here, we really looked at that deeply. We looked at it again at Bernadette Roberts on Sunday night. I told you guys last week that it's something that I know, and I can't say how I know it or why I know it. I remember the first time I knew it. I remember I was sitting in my basement in Pueblo West, contemplating the seven steps. I don't remember exactly where I was, maybe in step two or three. I really don't know. But I was contemplating the seven steps, and up until then, I saw consciousness as awakening. You know, I saw consciousness as the ultimate. And as I sat there contemplating the seven steps one day, all of a sudden, I saw beyond consciousness. And it's very difficult to describe that because obviously you can't see that, but there was a knowing, that's the word. All of a sudden I knew beyond consciousness. And I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that that was the truth that most people didn't want to admit to, because that was the end of the play. It was kind of a funny day because the feeling was I discovered this all by myself. I didn't learn it from anyone. And I think I've told you guys before, that's I was in this group for, quote, only enlightened people. And all these people did was fight with one another, this Facebook group. But I went into that Facebook group that day and Bentinho showed up and he had just discovered the same thing. Just then. And he started writing about it. He called it beyond experience at that time. Beyond the experiencer, he called it. And these people only knew of consciousness. They didn't know of beyond. And so when Bentinho started writing about it, they were all telling him he'd gone off the rocker, he'd lost it, he didn't know what he was talking about. And I was sitting there having just discovered it myself. I knew he knew exactly what he was talking about. And I think I said something, I don't remember what I said, but I said something to kind of testify. And Bentinho and I both got kicked out of the group. We were no longer enlightened. But there are times, I don't know how many times, you know, dozens maybe, you know, not hundreds, dozens of times since then, when in contemplation, I've touched it again. And it feels like a secret. It feels like something that if you tell people, they'll quit the spiritual path. Like if they really find out that ultimate truth, ultimate reality is beyond consciousness, they'll quit. But then there's those brave few teachers like Bentinho and Nisargadatta Maharaj and Ramana Maharshi and Michael Langford, and I guess we need to include Regina Don Acres, who talk about it. And then there's people like you who listen. It's amazing. And what happens for me, the more I, oh, and Bernadette Roberts, we don't want to leave her out. She talks about it, doesn't she? And the more that I contemplate this and the more that I accept this, the more that denying the truth, the more that the idea of denying the truth, the more that idea does not make sense. It doesn't make sense because it's denying the truth. You see? Those words alone. You know, and we can go back to NTI Romans chapter 2, which talks about how this whole illusion of duality began. And the way that it's worded there, and of course this is just a story, but the way that it's worded there is it began with a wish for the truth to be different than it was. And then what NTI Revelation talks about is the way this illusion ends is with the readiness to accept the truth as it is without the wish that it be different. And see, those of you who sit and listen to this are readying yourself for that. You're readying yourself to accept the truth as it is without the wish that it be consciousness. Nisargadatta Maharaj calls consciousness the first error, the first step away from truth. When you have knowledge, you see that the consciousness I is all pervasive as long as the consciousness is there. but the witness of the consciousness has no I am. And that is your true eternal nature. I love gives rise to great joy. And at the same time, there is nothing so miserable as I love. Because everything you love can be taken away. You know, the I love, right? That's in duality. I love gives rise to great joy. And at the same time, there is nothing so miserable as I love. Giving up the body is a great festival for me. What is the worth of all the activities of human beings? It is all entertainment. Just to pass time. And in fact, many times in my life, I've used the term killing time. How are we going to kill time today? Oh, let's go do this or that. Let's go to a movie, right? What is the worth of all the activities of human beings? It is all entertainment, just to pass time. You get pleasure only when you forget yourself. In deep sleep, you have forgotten yourself. That itself is joy. It is the Atman, not the personality, that is drawn to spirituality. In other words, consciousness within you is ready to return home. The first heir is ready to return home. It's not the personality. The personality is going to be tossed off like a piece of trash at some point. It's consciousness that is ready to return to the Father. I will not expound knowledge in the future. A few words here and there will be all. And that's the end of the message. So again, you know, we have Nisargadatta nearing his death, and he just doesn't seem to have time for anything but the truth, even if only a few people are willing to listen. I'm reminded of the Tao Te Ching. I quoted this in my Seven Steps journal this morning as well. There's a verse in the Tao Te Ching that says something like, people stop when they hear music or smell good food. I can't remember the exact words, but the Tao, words about the Tao are boring to them, uninteresting to them, right? Party, fun, talking about beyond consciousness, right? Boring. So you guys are amazing. You're amazing, and I really appreciate you. Thank you.